When it comes to central bank pledges to bolster economies, there are no limits. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. As European nations continue to lock down borders to prevent the spread of COVID-19, Christine Lagarde has said there are no limits to the actions the European Central Bank will take to ease the impact of the pandemic. Last night, she unveiled $820 billion in new emergency support. That's helping push financial markets higher today. The BBC's Stephen Ryan has a look at today's numbers.
Markets in Europe are in the green this morning. The Euro Stoxx 600 is up more than 1%. The beleaguered aviation sector, though, is still facing pressure. Qantas is set to join other carriers in grounding international flights later this month and put two-thirds of staff on leave. Germany's Lufthansa has now grounded 700 out of its 763-strong fleet. Some passenger planes may be used to supplement cargo services. As coronavirus case counts rise in Europe, China reported no new locally transmitted cases, a milestone that raises hopes the pandemic is nearing an end there. Meanwhile, Japan reported a 58% plunge in visitor numbers last month as travellers stayed away due to virus fears. It's the fifth straight month of declines. Olympic officials still claim the Tokyo Games will go ahead, though. The Nikkei fell 1% today, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng ended down nearly 2%, and stocks in Shanghai were down just less than 1%. Meanwhile, Australia's Reserve Bank cut another 0.25% off the official cash rate, and the rate won't rise until they're confident inflation will stay between 2 and 3%.
The BBC's Stephen Ryan with the latest headlines driving today's market moves. The roller coaster does continue, though. Currencies in Asia hit fresh lows, and the British pound is at a 30-year low against the U.S. dollar. Jane Foley is head of currency strategy at Rabobank. She explains why.
First and foremost, this is a story of dollar strength. And we've got to understand that the dollar is the dominant currency on the global payment system. So if we think about commodities such as oil or maybe wheat and other foodstuffs, and these are denominated in US dollars. So dollars are needed by an awful lot of countries and companies around the world. And because of the panic that we've seen in global markets stemming from fears of recessions in many countries, there is a hoarding going on for US dollars.
Now, it's not just currencies, but other markets, including stocks and bonds, are also seeing heavy pressure. How do you make sense of these big swings up and down in the markets?
On occasion, we see some of this news flow pass in towards improved sentiment in the market. So, for instance, last night we had a massive announcement from the European Central Bank about what it's going to do. And that has meant, of course, that the improvement in sentiment filters through into the stock markets today. But there is a big but that comes with that. I think in any crisis, you can have a few days where things look a little bit better. And then perhaps if we were to get worse headline news about the coronavirus, it is very likely that investors will lose their nerve again and continue selling.
You mentioned all of these efforts from central banks and governments around the world to try and shore up economies, but none of that really seems to be providing a substantial or permanent lift to sentiment. What will?
I think when the real economy starts to operate with some semblance of normality again, the central bank cannot put people back in shops. It cannot put people back on holidays or in airlines. And I think the only thing that will do that is when confidence begins to return. And I think for that to happen, we do need to see a decline in mortality rates at the very least.
Jane Foley, head of currency strategy at Rabobank. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
A constant stream of news about turmoil in financial markets and lockdowns across the world can get pretty heavy. So how about a little relief in the form of an at-home wine tasting?
You normally can see colour by looking at it over a bit of white thing like this. I've used a bloody jar, so I'm absolutely ridiculous idiot.
Well, that was me pouring a bit of white into my glass last night as Gus Gluck, co-founder of Quality Wines in central London, poured over the wine's tasting notes. Gus's wine bar is now closed, but his retail shop is still open, at least for now. So, in addition to selling full bottles of wine, Gus is also selling sample sizes of reds and whites for about $10 each, and he's leading tasting sessions on Instagram in the evenings. He says not only does it help distract people from what's going on, but keeps the business up and running too.
We had on Tuesday a lot of customers come in. They were really worried about us as people and how we were going to carry on. They were also really just, they were quite upset that they couldn't go to a bar and have someone just like open bottles of wine and tell them about it. So a couple of people did ask, like, is there any way you could do tastings at home in any capacity? And because we are a shop, we've got all these like jars of things. Like, we make jam like once a year, and we had loads of jam jars left. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I can just do tasters and see if people seem like they want to do it. Kind of did that test last night, and 400 people joined to actually watch it, but it was about 55 people actually bought tasters, so actually joined in with physically tasting the same wines.
And you got lots of interaction too. I was on last night, and it seemed like people really welcomed the respite from this relentless news cycle.
Like, I'm someone who's always tries to, especially in a working environment, and especially in a performing environment, which is what hospitality is to try and take things with a pinch of salt. Like, the bar has never been mega serious, even though we sell serious things and we're a wine bar. So it seems like it should be really serious and unexplainable and difficult. And so I just thought that, well, talking about wine isn't actually that hard if you have knowledge behind you. So again, just do something stupid, because you're right, there's a whole long line of bad news. So just to give someone something to do at 6 o'clock, and also it's a good time because people get to clock off work from home, because working from home is very hard, and they should clock off at the exact same time as they normally do.
Something to keep everyone's spirits high. Gus Gluck, yeah. Co-founder of Quality Wines. Thank you so much, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Well, Gus isn't alone. Businesses all over the world are finding innovative ways to stay busy and still serve customers. Let me know what you've seen. I'm at Victoria Craig on Twitter. By the way, that white wine we were tasting was a Malagousia from Greece, and it was delicious. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.